Some of us need God to move in our life spiritually and move through our life spiritually. And again, it's not that God doesn't want to or God doesn't have the power to. It's just we need to answer this question, are we prepared to let God move in us and through us? And God wants to prepare us for great things. The Bible says that we are here to bring up there, down here. You remember when Jesus says to pray? He says, pray to your heavenly Father and pray that his kingdom would come here on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we gather together as a people, as a church, as a family to let God work in us. And as he works in us and pours his spirit out in us, his power out in us, we allow him to work through us. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about God's power, what God's power is for, that his power isn't just to help us do great feats like jump out of airplanes or, you know, score touchdowns or turn back flips and all those kind of things. His power is so that we can fulfill our purpose as a people. In other words, God's power, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, my power, the Holy Spirit, is going to come upon you so you can be my witnesses throughout the earth. In other words, God's power comes to us as a people so that we can begin to proclaim or be witnesses of his great name, of what he's done in our life and what he does through our life as a people. So never mistake, God's power is a gift to us. His Holy Spirit is a gift to us so that we can begin to come out of some things and move in to some new things and be who he's designed us to be. The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians that God's power, his glorious power, Paul prays that the glorious power of God would be known in the people so they can endure and they could keep going, they could keep moving in life whenever life comes at them. And we've been talking a lot about God's power. And God's power is with his people. And the reason his power is with his people is so that his name can become great among the nations. My friends, God is with you if you have put your faith, belief, and trust in Jesus Christ. He works in you and he works through you. We don't come to church just to, you know, come to church. We come to church to be encouraged with God's word, to be the people he has designed us to be. And again, we're getting ready to move as a family, as a community, as a people in this particular region. And so we would say this is a transition time. It's a time to transition, to leave something behind and move forward towards something ahead. And in the Bible, we can see a period of time when God moved through a people and there was a transition time. And this story is found in your Bible in the book of Joshua. Let me set the story up for us today because we're going to learn from this story in the book of Joshua some principles that God wants us to apply in our life as he moves in us and moves through us and we move forward. In other words, as we begin to move forward with what God has designed us to be and do. The book of Joshua is a story about a leader named Joshua leading God's people into a promised land. The promised land was a place that was full of provision. It was a place that was full of, you know, God's protection and God's power for the people to operate in their purpose. And the Bible says that Joshua was the leader that led these people into that promised land. Now, many, many years before, the people had moved out of slavery or bondage in Egypt, and they were underneath the leadership of a man named Moses, and they went on a journey towards the promised land. But they forgot all about God's provision on that journey. They began to not respect God's power on that journey and be God's people on that journey. And the Bible says what they did is they wandered around for 40 years. Now this generation has died off. God speaks to the next leader named Joshua, and he says, you know what, it's time for my people to move. It's time for my people to transition. So Joshua, you as the leader need to speak into the people so so that they transition and transition well and become everything I've designed them to be. Now, when we look at this story today, I want us to understand something. First and foremost, I'm not Joshua. And secondly, you're not the people of Israel. But this story of Joshua speaking to the people of Israel has some principles for your life right here at Valorous Church in 2023. And that's what we're gonna extract from these passages today is the principles, because the principles never change. And the reality of it is we can learn so much from this story. We have a great leader, by the way, in the local church. You know who his name is? His name is Jesus. The Bible says he's the head of the church and we are the body. And we as the body are to participate together and function. Body is made to function and bring God's presence into the earth, bring God's presence into a community. In other words, God, through his power, gives you a gift. And you're to take that gift and you're to partner that gift up with other parts of the body known as the local church. And together, we are to function and be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world and permeate God's presence in this world so more people come to know who he is. That's our purpose. But the reality of it is some people don't understand this operating power and don't prepare themselves for God to work in them and through them. So what this passage is gonna do today, it's gonna prepare us for what God does in our life through this transition. It's gonna be a powerful moment. It's gonna be a moment where God speaks to your heart. If you're so dare to open up your heart and let him speak to you this weekend. Joshua chapter 3 is where we'll begin. And the Bible says this. It says, early the next morning, Joshua and the Israelites, they left Acacia, the Acacia Grove, and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. Acacia is a place of transition. It's a place where they needed to leave some things behind before they transition into the new things that God was going to do. The Bible says 3 days later, the Israelite officers, they went through the camp giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God and the power of God, when you see them carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. How many of you know that we're supposed to follow the presence of God and the power of God with our life if we want to see God show up in a mighty, mighty way? God wants to move, but are we willing to be followers of his presence as he's moving in our life? The Bible goes on to say this, since you have never traveled this way before, these people will guide you with the ark. Stay about a half mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't get any closer. In other words, respect the power of God. My friends, I wonder how many people just come to church casually and don't respect the power of God in the presence of God. In other words, we're not to approach God casually. We're to approach our Creator respectfully. As children, as those who believe that God is for us and not against us, as those who believe that God provides everything from the heavens for us to do life with. And again, we need to be thankful, we need to be grateful and not approach God casually. Let's have great respect for God. In other words, keep your distance a little bit. So you know what? That's a way to say, I'm respecting who God is and his incredible power. Then Joshua told the people, here's what you need to do. Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and they went ahead of the people. The Lord told Joshua, today, I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of the Israelites. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and you need to stop there. Take a few steps into the river, stop. and observe the power and presence of what God is doing. My friends, we need to take a breath and stop and observe the power of God in our own lives. Observe what he wants to do in and through us. He goes on to say this. So in verse 9, it says, so Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord God says. Today you will know that he is a living God among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and the Jebusites ahead of you. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River, will lead you into this next season. And then we'll go to Joshua chapter 4, read a few verses there. The Bible says, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, once they got across, then the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe, tell them to take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan and carry them out and pile them up at a place where you would camp tonight. In other words, go back to the center of where my power exists, pick up some stones and carry them to the place that you're gonna camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men, it says, that he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel, and he told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark, in front of the presence and power of God, the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And when you use these stones to build the memorial, you will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children, the next generations, will ask, what do these stones mean? And then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Joshua 4 verse 20 says, it was there at that place at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. And then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes and he kept it dry until you were all across. Just as he did the Red Sea in the past when he dried it up until we had all crossed over there. He did this, here it is, verse 24. The reason God did this, the reason God's presence went before us and his power existed among us, he did this so all the nations of the earth will know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear or respect the Lord your God forever. My friend, when God moves in your life, it is so that his powerful hand can be shown to the people and the nations around you of who he is. And it's so that you never forget to respect him for all the good things he is doing in your life and where he is carrying you to. The Bible says God acts on these people's behalf in the transition to show his powerful hand so they would always respect him, never forget him, and the nations around the world would know who he was. It hasn't changed, my friend. The purpose of the local church, the spirit of the living God, the power of God is in you so he can work through you, so you and I can be witnesses to the nations around us, to the ends of the earth. God brings you out of darkness, puts you into wonderful light. His powerful spirit comes upon you so you can grow up, live out your purpose, and be exactly who you're designed to be. Amen. You can transition and transition well. God is working in his people. Salvation in Christ Jesus isn't just so, you know what, you can live unchanged and go to heaven one day. Salvation in Christ Jesus is so you can be forgiven of all of your misses, all of your sin. The Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells in you and transforms you, my Bible says, into a new creation. But that new creation has divine purpose. And that divine purpose is to be a shining light to the world around us of God's goodness. The question is, are you participating in what God's doing in the earth? Because the hand of the most powerful, the creator of the universe, is doing that. He is snatching people out of darkness by the power of the cross and the love and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's snatching people out of darkness. He's placing them in the wonderful light. And when he places them in the wonderful light, the Holy Spirit comes in, purges some things out, puts some new things in, and then people begin to walk in the fullness of who God says they are. And so God begins to move. Here's my question for you this weekend. Is God moving in your life? And you say, well, I think so. Well, I can tell you right now, you can know so. And I can tell you right now, God wants to do some powerful things. And the question is, are you a part of what God's doing in the earth? Because what God's doing in the earth, he's doing through his church. The called out ones. Those who are called out of darkness, placed in the wonderful light that he gives a spiritual gift to, so that spiritual gift can participate and we can do great things together in this earth for his name's sake. And if you're not living in that vein and for that purpose, you're truly not living with your God-given design. You're just kind of walking through life. And God says, no, I don't want you just to walk through life. I want to show up in a powerful way. So the nations of the world know who I am. My friends, we're getting ready to transition physically to the other side of this waterway right here in North Myrtle Beach. But I'm telling you right now, not only is God transitioning us physically, he's transitioning us spiritually, and he's gonna do great and mighty things. I like to think of it this way. That ground we're going to is holy ground. It's set apart ground. I like to say it this way. It's set apart for God's glory. We want to be a city on a hill, a light unto the nations. We don't want to hide the light. We want to shine the light so people who don't know our Heavenly Father will come to know who he is. When we step out of this place and we go to that place, I want you to know you need to leave some things behind because you're stepping towards greatness. And we all need to be accountable to God for what God's doing. In other words, we need to submit ourselves to his authority. Because literally that's what he's telling Joshua right here. You need to tell the Israelite people they need to submit themselves to my authority. And when they do, they need to leave something behind because I'm getting ready to move ahead in their life with their life. See, it's interesting because that word there, acacia, where they left, the acacia grove. There's another biblical word for it. It's a place called Shittim. And it's a place that they were to leave behind. But the acacia grove was actually a place where after God brought the Israelites out of bondage, out of slavery with his powerful hand, and they wandered around in a desert for 40 years, acacia is a place where they forgot about who God was in his powerful hand. It's a place where they participated in sexual activity that was not of God with the Moabite people. And they were doing things that were not of God. And acacia was a place where they basically said, I'm not gonna abide under the authority of God. I'm gonna abide under the rulership of all of these other tribes and people and what I think in my life. And the Bible says they wandered around for 40 years. It's interesting because God brings them back to that very place that they disobeyed God. And God says, before you leave this place, you need to get yourself ready and purify yourself. In other words, you need to leave something behind before I move forward in you and through you to the other side. See, this is the first principle we need to understand about moving with God. We have to prepare ourselves. How do we do that? Well, it's spelled out for us right here in this passage. Look what it says. It says in Joshua 3, verse 5, Joshua told the people, purify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. I'm getting ready to do some great things. But you got to purify yourself. You got to leave your past, leave some things behind here in Acacia. Because I'm getting ready to do great wonders. I'm getting ready to move you forward to a new place, a new purpose. And then the Bible goes on to say, he tells them this, in the morning, Joshua said to the priest, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and they went, and these people went ahead of the people. The power and presence of God went out in front of the people. And then the Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of the Israelites. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. The purpose of God being with you is to work through you in the lives of those around you. See, they're gonna know, Joshua, that I am with you because you're calling them to set themselves apart. And when they do, they're gonna recognize my hand is with you and I'm working through you to do great, great things through you. So how do we prepare ourselves? Number one is this, we lay down some things. And today I'm gonna allow you to do that at the end of the service. When you came in, you got a little sheet of paper, a little sticky note, a little pencil pen. And I just wanna encourage you right now to begin to think about in this transition that God's working in his people, what you need to lay down and not take to the other side. In other words, he tells them at the Acacia Grove, he says, you need to lay down some things. You're not taking this stuff of disobedience and all this stuff you've been doing, you're not taking it to the other side. Lay it down, prepare yourself, set yourself apart because I'm getting ready to do great and mighty things, great and wonderful things in you and through you as you move to the other side. People, we have to submit ourselves to the Lord and we have to come underneath his leadership. And when we do, when we trust the forgiveness of sin through Christ Jesus and the power of the resurrection, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes in you, lives in you. He gives you and I a gift. His purpose is to activate that gift and teach you, coach you, train you, counsel you into your purpose. And one of the things the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit begins to convict you and he begins to purge out. This is what purifying is, the old so you can leave it behind. And he begins to put in the new so God can move you forward and take you forward in your purpose. The Holy Spirit's purpose in my life, your life, and the church's life is to basically teach us our purpose about where we're going and purge out the things that are not of God. And so here's the real question you need to ask yourself today. What do I need to leave behind? What is in my life right now that I don't need to take to the other side because I want to see a move of God? I want to see God move in me and move through me. I want to see God's power operate in a powerful, powerful way because the Bible says that God is powerful and he will operate in us if we will allow ourselves to be set apart for his purpose, to be holy. The Bible says that you're saved with a purpose, a holy calling. In other words, God has a calling, an assignment. He has something he has spoken into your heart. But my friend, you don't need to take all this baggage of Acacia or the past with you. Leave that stuff behind. So here's how we're gonna do it. You're gonna write down what you need to leave behind. You're gonna wad that up at the end of this service and reach four trash cans across the front of this stage you're gonna take and you're gonna come leave it here and put it in that trash can as we move forward and move towards what's ahead. So begin to examine your heart or call on the Holy Spirit right now where you sit to examine your heart. Not your neighbor's heart, not your friend's heart, but what does God say you need to leave behind? I mean, I'm sure we all have something. I mean, is it unforgiveness that we need to leave behind? Because the Bible says we need to be forgiven as, or forgive as we've been forgiven. Can I tell you what unforgiveness does? It holds you hostage. When you don't, it doesn't mean you have to be with the person all the time that you forgive. It doesn't mean that you have to, you know, like them and like all their Facebook posts every day and all that good stuff. But when you forgive, it releases you of bitterness and hatred and angry into your purpose. God says, forgive others as you have been forgiven. When you know the forgiveness of Christ for your sin, my friend, you begin to release other people for their sin because it begins to set you free in your purpose. Some of you might need to write something down that you need to forgive somebody for. And you need to wad it up. Throw it in the trash can and don't take that unforgiveness to the other side. Some of you are trying to take fear to the other side. You see, it's interesting, right? Because God says we need to trust him for his provision. And there is no New Testament rule that you gotta give God this or do that. But there is a principle that we take out of the Old Testament to trust God as provider. And that principle is known as tithing in the local church. What is tithing all about? Tithing is a simple word. It means a tenth of all that God has provided for you. But again, God doesn't command and say, you know what, if you don't bring me 10% of all I give to you financially, you're gonna go to hell. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. But the reality, if you're gonna be a cheerful giver, you gotta believe that God is the provider. Because I don't bring in a tithe or give cheerfully if I don't believe that God is providing it for me. I don't bring it to his house and watch him open up the floodgates of heaven on my life. See, some of you are fearful to release a tithe, a tenth or a fifth or whatever you wanna release into God's kingdom, into his family, so his name can move forward. And you're fearful of what might happen if you do release the resources. God says, test me in this area and see if I will not open up the floodgates of heaven on your soul. I invite you today, if you are fearful of your financial future, then begin to trust God and see what he'll do. Some of us need to leave this behind. Some of us need to leave gossip behind. Gossip doesn't have a place in God's family. Hatred, envy, all those kinds. My dad used to say this, they said and I heard are the two biggest lies in the whole world. You know why? Because those are gossip. People come up to you and say, they said this about you. Well, ask them this question, who is they? Or I heard, who did you hear it from? Because typically that's that person's thinking because they've been listening to stinking thinking and they're thinking one thing and they're telling you another. And I can tell you right now that has no place in God's family. And some of you are listening to the voice of gossip and some of you are doing the gossip. And God says, that has no place in my family. Wad that stuff up, leave it behind, leave it in Arcacia and let's love one another, build one another up, encourage one another in the faith, challenge one another to put the old behind and the new in and let's see what I'll do. See, these things are things that hold us back from our potential. And where do we pick them up? We pick them up on the journey. And they're not always things of God. But God says to the Israelites, this stuff you picked up on the journey, we're gonna leave it right here before we go there. Some of you are suffering from addiction. Something has hold on your life. And you need to draw a line in the sand today. Let's say today is the day I leave that behind with the power of God. Again, I'm not against programs. I'm not against steps. I'm not against books or either. I think we need those resources to help us on the journey. However, what you really need is the power of the living God in your life to give you the power to lay down the addiction so you can move forward with who he says you are to move forward in your life. Some of us need to draw a line in the sand. I didn't say you wasn't saved, but you're saved with an addiction that's holding you back from the power of the living God in your potential of what God wants to do from you. And you need to lay that down right here today before we transition to the other side. What do you need to lay down? I think we all need to ask that question today. But not only do we need to lay some stuff down, we need to pick up some stuff. See, it's interesting in the story. After the power of God went out in front of the people and the river parted and the people moved through to the other side, God tells 12 leaders to come back to the power, come back to the presence and pick up 12 stones and carry them to the other side. You know what those 12 stones represent? they represent God's amazing hand of parting that river, giving a place of dry ground for those people to come across on. And those people were going back to pick up those stones out of the middle of the river, stack them on the other side as a memorial for the generations to come, but so that they would also respect God for all the days of their life. It was a way for them to praise God. So in a minute, when I ask you to come forward and put that past in the bucket, the trash can, and leave it behind you, I'm also gonna ask you to pick up a stone from one of these four piles and take it with you. Because what that stone represents is, from this point forward, I'm gonna begin to give God some praise for what he's gonna continue to do. Tonight, 6:30 p.m. would be a great opportunity for you to begin to come in here and elevate your voice and begin to praise this great God for who he is. Those stones represent the moment of God's mighty hand working in the people, and they're going back and they're praising him for what he's doing. See, we're gonna take these stones, and when we physically move to the other side, eventually we're gonna take these stones and we're gonna pile them up on the other side. And we're gonna begin to praise God for some things. And on this journey over the next several months before we do that, I want you to take this rock away with you. And I want you to begin to think of some things you can praise God for. Write it on that rock. And when we do this on the other side, you can bring it back in to represent that I'm praising God for his mighty hand and what he did to get us to the other side. Come on. And so that's what we're gonna do with these rocks after you take them away. It's gonna be a powerful moment. But see, this isn't the first moment we did this. Back in the day, when my family and I were planted here in North Myrtle Beach to start this church that was then called Barefoot Community Church, that later turned to Barefoot Church, that now is Valor's Church. When we started this in our home, over in the neighborhood of Barefoot Landing, it was my wife, Kim, my son at that time in the second grade, his name is Cole, and our little dog, Roscoe. And God planted us in a neighborhood. And we began to let the light of Christ shine in us and through us. And we began to reach out to our neighbors and say, would you come join in with what God wants today? One of those people in our living room on a Sunday morning when 12 people met in our living room, I pulled out some rocks. And I said, write on these rocks something you're thankful for. And one day we're gonna build a memorial and we're gonna stack those rocks up on the other side. And we're gonna give God all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. One of those ladies in my living room, the first 12, her name was Phyllis Fessman. Phyllis Fessman has gone on to be with the Lord since that day. She's gone on into her heavenly rewards. But that day in my living room, the first person that ever surrendered her life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ was Phyllis Fessman. And she wrote on that rock. She wrote on that rock, you know, today I trust the power and the provision of God in my life. I trust Jesus for my salvation. And she wrote all this stuff on that rock. I still have that rock with me. Can I tell you what I'm gonna do with that rock and the ones that we've collected there since? We're gonna take them to the other side and we're gonna give God some praise and we're gonna give God some honor for all the changed lives that he has done through this church over the years. My friend, people come, people go, but God's power comes in and it changes people, it transforms people, and then he sends them out all over the world. So see, that's what this moment is gonna represent. It's gonna be a powerful moment. It's gonna be a moment for you to participate. It's gonna be a moment for you to step forward and say, I'm repenting, I'm laying down some things I don't need to take with me. I'm putting that stuff in the trash. I'm turning around, I'm turning my heart towards God. I'm expecting him to do great things. I'm gonna pick up some rocks of praise. I'm gonna move to the other side and I'm gonna believe that God is on the move and working in his people to work through his people, and we're gonna stack up a memorial. I don't know exactly what that memorial looks like yet, but it's gonna be incredible. And here's what I want it to do. I don't want it only to remind you of the goodness of God as he ushered us into this place. I want it to speak to the nations and the generations to come. Because the reality of it is, not only do we need to lay some things down, pick up some moments of praise, but the Bible says that we need to set up things for people to know his goodness. Look what it says here, Joshua chapter 4, verse 24, says that after all of this was done, Joshua did this and all his people, all the people did it. It says that God did this in verse 24, so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so that you might fear the Lord, your God, forever. So the reason we're gonna build a memorial or set up a memorial or set up these stones, whatever you wanna call it, is so the nations of the earth will begin to know who God is, that God was with us, God did miracles, God did incredible things, God made all the provision, God was with the people endured with their gifts, they kept going, kept moving forward because God was with them. My friend, this is a transition moment. God's getting ready to move us physically, but he's getting ready to take us to higher levels spiritually. God's trying to open your eyes, but the reality of it is sin is blinding you. You need to put that stuff behind you, put it in the trash can, trust the rock of your salvation. His name is Jesus Christ. Build your life on that foundation and see what God wants to do. But the question is, will you trust the move of God? Will you respond to what God's doing in your heart? I really believe in all of my heart, this isn't just a moment in time. I believe that God's moving all over the earth through churches. I believe God is doing wonderful and great things. But right now, in this community called Valorous Church, it is a great transition to see what God's gonna do. And God's inviting you to lay some things down, move forward his purpose and his plan, pick up some praises and begin to praise his great name, and let's set up for the generations to come. See, I believe this with my heart, that there's people that aren't even born physically yet that's gonna know the hand of a powerful God because of this moment and because what God's gonna do in and through us. See, I'm not only thinking about God's powerful hand in us, I'm thinking about God's powerful hand through us. What does he wanna do in your kids? What does he wanna do in your grandkids? What you know, one of the greatest things our kids can ever see in our life is the power in the hand of God. For us to say, you know what, I was wrong. And God, today, I put that down and I'm gonna move forward with my life and I'm gonna see you do great and mighty things for your name's sake. Part of one of the ways for your kids to know that God is who he says he is to begin to watch the transformation in your life. Not just to, you know, watch you move forward and drop something, but to watch it begin to transform you over the years, over the months, over the time to come. It's to watch God work in your life. It's one of the ways to affect the next generation. Let's be that church. Let's be that people. Let's set up a memorial for God to move and do great and powerful things. I'm gonna pray for us, and then at the end of my prayer, the band's gonna come out, they're gonna start playing, they're gonna start singing. And if God is so moving in your heart to lay some things down, wad up that paper, put it in the trash cans, come to one of these four piles, pick up a stone and make your way back to your seat. I'm not asking you to leave during this moment, just come forward, make your way back to your seat. And we'll have some closing comments. And tonight we're gonna praise God in a powerful, powerful way. Let me pray for you. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you, God, for Jesus. I thank you for what he has done on the cross through his powerful resurrection as he ascended back into heaven and poured out the Holy Spirit on men and women alike for us to operate in your power and carry out your purpose in this earth. God, I pray we'd be that church. We'd be that people. We'd be the hands and feet of Jesus to our community. God, we would respect you all the days of our life and we begin to watch your Holy Spirit horsepower work in us and work through us. So God, would you move in the hearts of your people? Would you begin to move us in a new direction, in a new time, in a new space? God, would you work on behalf of our Lord Jesus, our King Jesus, our leader Jesus? God, would you begin to do this in our hearts today? And we pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen.